Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
I want to talk about something because I hear it all the time. I think it's a real issue, even in my close circle of friends. Health anxiety, or hypochondria, as we all know it, it can be all-consuming and even debilitating if left unchecked. So, Dr. Claire Hayes is a clinical psychologist and author, and she joins me now to talk us through the problems of health anxiety and just ways to tackle it. Claire, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Great to have you. Can you define for us, in clinical terms, what health anxiety is and how common is it?
Well, in clinical terms, it's very simple. It's anxiety about health, but it's severe anxiety about health. So the clinical condition would be health anxiety disorder. So people who are experiencing anxiety about their health to an extreme condition,
okay,
to an extreme extent. So those people would be quite rare or smaller group. But the rest of us who tend to worry a lot about our health, in a way that's normal, but it can become a problem. And of course, it can develop into becoming a clinical condition.
Wow.
Where, you know, it becomes very, very, very serious. So there are three words that I think are very useful in all of this: intensity, frequency and duration. So if somebody tends to be a bit worried about their health, sometimes that's fine. But if the worry about our health takes over, so it becomes very intense, lasts for a very long time and happens very often, that's a warning bell, really, to go and get professional help.
That's when it's problematic. Yes. That's when it's going to, like most, like when it's interfering with your life.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Dr. Google probably isn't a great help in this, I would say.
Dr. Google definitely isn't. And I stopped using Google for health a number of years ago. I had a number
Good
of,
on you.
Yes. Well, yeah. I was very tired. I had a lot of health conditions and turned out to have low white blood cells.
Okay.
So I put in all my symptoms. I came across a website and it said, you know, we can 100% tell you what's wrong. And I thought, okay. I was feeling very, very tired at the time. So I put in my symptoms and it came back and it said, tell us one more and then we'll say what it is. So I put in, I looked at the list and I thought, yeah, I have that too. And it came back to tell me with 100% certainty that I had AIDS. Thankfully, I knew I did not have AIDS. I know some people do. I knew I did not have. It was the last time I trusted Google.
Okay.
We really cannot. And we know that, but the tendency is
it's
if
just
we hear
there.
Anything.
It's there. Yes. Isn't it? It's too easy.
There's a lot of very good information. So I think if people want to use Google, look at something like the HSE website or the NHS website or the Mayo Clinic. Look at reputable sites where the information is really clear. And with the whole area of health, mental health, there are two diagnostic criteria that I look at. So I do use Google. Mm-hmm. One is called the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, and that's now in its fifth edition. And that gives a lot of different categories of illnesses, disorders, as Americans might say. Mm-hmm. And the European one is the ICD, and it's now in its 11th edition. So if somebody is worried and they can Google, you know, health ICD or health DSM, but that probably wouldn't be helpful either because it comes up with a lot of different things. So with anxiety, for instance, I see anxiety in very simple terms. We might worry about something. We might feel anxious. Mm-hmm. And that's a warning mechanism, a primitive warning mechanism, Jen, that we all have. It's really important. It's like a smoke alarm, but it can be broken. And it can be activated not just by what's happening, so somebody breaking into our home, but by wind. So our internal warning mechanism can be activated by real danger, real health problems, and or what we think. So I love CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And really, that's a treatment. That's a treatment for this. So whether it's somebody with severe health anxiety or somebody who knows that they obsess about their health, separating out how they're feeling, what they're thinking, and what they're doing. And the thing with anxiety is a normal response to anxiety causes us to feel sick. Literally feel sick.
Yeah.
So our heart rate races, sick feeling in our stomach, mm-hmm. clammy hands, sweaty. We don't feel good. And that's normal energy, adrenaline, to get us to either run away from what's causing the problem or fighting it. But a lot of times we freeze. And people who have a tendency to worry about their health can easily misinterpret that normal anxiety. And I've had the privilege of working with people who've been referred to me because they're, in quotes, anxious.
Yeah.
Or they have hypochondriasis. And for them, a lot of times they think they're stupid or that nobody believes them or they're making up this pain in their tummy. And they're actually not. Am I speaking too much?
No.
No?
Okay. Absolutely not. All right.
Okay, so I looked up this. I use Google because I had an idea in my head that Spike Milligan experienced all of this. And I had an idea that he said something, that there was something on his headstone. So I thought he said, "I told you I was sick." What he actually has on his headstone was "Dirt may live, grow," now what's the word? Bishagurum or something, that I was sick. But he's buried in England. And the people who were doing his headstone weren't allowed to say, "I told you I was ill." So he wrote it in Irish instead.
Clever. So you're saying, sorry to interject there, Anne, because what you're saying is just, it makes complete sense. But I never thought of it. I never thought people who suffer with health anxiety or hypochondria, they actually feel, they feel that pain that they're having, you know, and, you know, you hear that saying, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. Well, it is, but it's causing you physical distress as well.
Absolutely.
Are certain people prone to health anxiety? Is this certain cohort of people, would you say, or can anybody be triggered?
I think that's a great question. I think any of us can be, because we all experience anxiety. We all have this primitive mechanism in our bodies. But there are some people who experience anxiety to a severe extent from when they're very, very, very little. And maybe they were very sick, or maybe they were protected, or maybe their parents were experiencing anxiety. And I'm conscious with my language, Jen. So I'm deliberately saying experiencing anxiety as opposed to are anxious.
Yeah.
I would say someone has a tendency to feel anxious about their health rather than that they are a hypochondriac. But there are life events that we can have that can trigger it. So getting older actually is one, a normal thing that, you know, if we live long enough, we might experience health anxiety. Because we all will die. Mm-hmm. So Spike Milligan was right, you know, and people, there can be a sort of a mission to prove that they're right, because they might think people don't believe them, and the pressure. So somebody notices that they're not feeling good, and then to feel better, they do something. So that might be go to a doctor, that might be talk to friends, that might be Googling, or it actually might be avoiding altogether. And there's a danger in both of those extremes. So if someone is experiencing anxiety about their health and they don't do anything about it, they notice maybe a tiny lump, or they notice a pain in their tummy or a difference in bowel movements or whatever it is. And they start to worry and worry and worry, but they don't actually do something proactive. Well, it could be a serious illness.
Yeah.
And it could be something that could be helped early. So it's really important to get the balance right.
And doing something proactive and doing something positive, because obviously the worry, I mean, the lump or the sickness or whatever, if you have that, would it get worse with stress and anxiety? Would that contribute to
absolutely
it getting worse?
Absolutely. Yeah. But then saying don't worry is not going to work, because we all worry, and that's a normal thing that we do too.
Would you say COVID created havoc in the area of health anxiety? Was that a big factor? Yeah, flat out the door with this now after COVID.
You know what? It's interesting. Yes and no. At the beginning of COVID, people I'd had the privilege of working with years before who might have had severe anxiety, severe depression, were ringing me or emailing me saying, "Claire, don't worry about me. I'm doing great." So it was like their worst fear came true, and then suddenly they were fine. And I've seen that with people who are worried about maybe getting seriously ill.
Okay.
And then they're diagnosed with cancer and they are brilliant at coping with it. Mm. But the people who I found struggled at the beginning of COVID were the people who hadn't experienced stress or challenges before, and they just didn't know what hit them. Coming towards the end of COVID, when the restrictions were being lifted, the opposite happened. People who found that they felt better by avoiding, by restricting, by staying at home, found it incredibly difficult to get back out there. And that is a real problem. And that's continuing. And I think increasing.
Yeah. OK, well, finally, Claire, regardless of problems around health anxiety, if anyone is experiencing symptoms or of general concerns health-wise, and to alleviate their health anxiety, I assume a visit to the GP is the first port of call.
Absolutely. Excuse me. I use a saying with anxiety, reassurance doesn't work. So for someone who's experiencing health anxiety to a severe extent, it's probably not going to work going to the GP. It's important that they do, but they will still feel anxious. So for me, it's not about getting rid of the anxiety, Jen. It's about helping people really understand it and manage it. And there's a nice sentence I've developed called the ABC coping sentence. I feel anxious. I feel a bit worried because I think there might be something wrong with me, but I choose to do the best I can. But I choose to take care of myself. But I choose to allow the doctors to do their job. But I choose to worry about it if or when it happens. Or allowing ourselves to worry about it for 10 minutes every single day, I choose to worry about it at my worry time. And sometimes, and I don't mean to make fun of people in any way who are seriously ill, but sometimes looking at worst case scenarios, so somebody who's worrying about dying, well, okay, so what have you everything ready? Have you a plan? Mm. What would you like to wear in your coffin? What? And that can, you know, people have laughed at me at that. And that completely can diffuse the anxiety.
I just have severe anxiety that nobody will come at me with the tweezers when I'm in the coffin. So hopefully somebody,
oh my gosh.
Kate, that's your job, okay? And a makeup brush and a bronzer so I look good. Well, listen, really interesting stuff. Claire, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day and coming in this morning. I've no doubt this conversation resonates with many people listening. There we go. Clinical psychologist, Dr. Claire Hayes. And if you'd like more information on her work, you can check out her website, drclairehayes.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.